So we're in our summer series called How We Grow, all about spiritual disciplines. And so we're using God's Word. We're also looking at the book Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster to learn and talk about spiritual disciplines. These are ancient practices that the early church participated in that were part of the life of the early church, part of the DNA of the early church, that some 2,000 years later, unfortunately, we've forgotten a lot of those. And so they're not things that we are doing on a daily basis, but are things that are important to us, important for our life, important for things that we should be doing as we work to grow closer and closer to Jesus every day. And so if you want to know all the spiritual disciplines we've been talking about and the ones we will talk about, we do have some of these at the Connect Center. You can grab one of these for you, and it kind of talks about all the spiritual disciplines and some of the scriptures that are connected with those. And so those are available. This morning, I invite you, if you have a Bible with you, to turn to Mark chapter 1. And this morning, we're going to talk about the spiritual discipline of solitude. And so, as you are turning to Mark chapter 1, I invite you to join me in a word of prayer. God, we are grateful that we can gather together, grateful that we can look at your word together. So, Father, as I share this morning, may the words I say be words that come from you and not from me. And may our lives be changed and transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the truth of the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we talk about solitude, I've got to make sure to clear something up at the very beginning. Solitude is not the same as loneliness. So many times people may hear the word solitude, they're like, well, I live by myself, I'm always by myself, I don't really like people, I'm happy, I'm good, I do solitude every day. I am Mr. Solitude or Miss Solitude. So it's different than loneliness. See, solitude is the act of being alone with God. Loneliness is an emotional response to perceived or actual social isolation. See, people can feel lonely even if they're in a room full of people. That's not what we're talking about this morning. I will say, if you are struggling with loneliness, reach out to a licensed counselor to help you walk through what it means to be lonely and what it means to actually be someone that is not experiencing or struggling with loneliness. And so, please get help. If you know someone that you think is struggling with loneliness, reach out to them. Connect with them, be a friend to them, talk to them. Sometimes someone just needs to know that there's someone that cares. And so I want to make sure that we are taking care of each other and looking out for each other well. But this morning, we're talking about solitude. We're talking about being alone, but spending time with God. The one that created us, the creator of the universe, intentionally pitting ourselves in a place where our heart and mind is in line with the creator. Richard Foster makes this connection between solitude and silence. So if you don't know me, I haven't introduced myself. If you're new to the church, I'm Pastor Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here at Riverstone. I am really bad about introducing myself, so that's one thing to know about me. But something else is I'm an extrovert, and so I don't like silence. I like noise. My wife and I have 4 kids, and so there is always constant noise going on in my house. Do I like noise? Yes. There's always noise. I'm always liking it. He's fine. I grew up Pentecostal, so talking back to the pastor is just part of life. And so I am not a fan of being silent. And so when Richard Foster talks about solitude and silence, I'm like, I could probably do the solitude thing for a little bit And I don't mind being by myself, but can I have like music playing? How about music with no words? Is that okay? Like just something. But it's amazing how when we, and we'll look at this here this morning in Scripture, so many times when Jesus goes off and practices solitude, there's always silence associated with it. So he's off by himself in silence and in solitude. And so really the two, silence and solitude, do go hand in hand together. So let's look at Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. See, if you want to know about solitude, the true champion of solitude was Jesus. I mean, Jesus understood the importance of practicing solitude, the importance of getting away by himself with just him and the Father being alone together. Now, it's funny to me that in this passage, it says that everybody was looking for Jesus. Do you know who was not worried about everybody? Jesus. Jesus wasn't worried about all the people. He was going off into solitude by himself. He knew where he was at. He was with the Father. He was spending time in solitude with the Father. He wasn't worried about all the people that were so concerned about him. Here, let me see one of y'all's phones for a second. Thank you. This is a tool. It can be a good tool or a bad tool. A lot of times in our lives, we don't practice solitude because we're addicted to this tool. I got at least one amen. So many times, that is something that we need to be willing to give up, is practicing solitude and silence. This thing here can create a lot of noise. It can create a lot of noise in our head. It can create a lot of noise as we're doom scrolling through social media or YouTube videos. It can create a lot of noise. And so sometimes, in order to practice solitude, we have to be willing to turn those things off, to disconnect from the world, to turn those things off. So I'm going to say this to you, and this is not meant to offend anybody in the room, but you're not that important. I know, I'm talking to myself too. And what I mean by that is you're not that important that you turning off a device and turning off your phone for a while and practicing solitude, the world will not end because you're not connected. My kids don't quite understand what it means to not have the ability of connecting, of seeing their grandmother that's in Virginia or their grandmother that's in Texas and be able to see their face without having to physically be in their presence. They don't understand that, so they're like, "Oh, when did you get a cell phone? In college?" And I paid for it myself. And so when my soon-to-be fourth grader tells me that he needs a cell phone, I'm like, "Child, you do not need a cell phone. You do not need one more thing to distract you." What happens when you're a pastor's kid? Sorry. And so times in life, I encourage you as we continue in this message that hopefully you'll start practicing solitude. You start spending time away practicing solitude. So I'm going to use an example here in the room, and he can tell you if he wants to acknowledge who he is. A friend of mine, he spent this last week in a camper by himself. Turned his phone off, spent time just him and God, spent time fishing, spent time in the outdoors, and just spent time away. And when he told me he was doing this, I said, you know, I'm really jealous of you right now. Because you're doing the thing that all of us need to be practicing on a regular basis. Getting away and spending time in solitude, disconnecting from the world around us, and spending time in God's creation with the Creator. How amazing is that? Psalm chapter 62, starting in verse 1, says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." Lamentations chapter 3, verses 25 through 28, says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him." See, the call to solitude is the call to follow Jesus. It seems hard in our world today with all the noise around us that a call to solitude could be a good and holy thing, something that is set apart, something that Jesus calls us to. But the call to solitude is a call to follow Jesus. Let me show you in Matthew chapter 14. Sorry, Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30, let me just give you a little bit of understanding before we read this passage of Scripture. So Jesus had sent out the disciples two by two and sent them out into the world to heal the sick, to perform miracles, to preach the gospel, tell the people of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we catch up after they have come back to Jesus and they've reported what has happened. This is what we pick up at Mark chapter 6, verse 30. It says, "The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught." And listen to what Jesus said. "And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while.' For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves." So the first thing Jesus tells them, after they've been exploring and preaching the gospel and telling people about Him, is come away by yourselves to a desolate place. Come and go into solitude. Come and replenish your soul by getting away from all the chaos of the world. See, we read lots of examples of Jesus practicing solitude, of practicing this act of solitude and getting away by himself. Matthew chapter 14. Starting in verse 22, says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone." Luke chapter 6, verse 12. In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Mark chapter 6, verse 45 through 47. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. Matthew chapter 26, 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." It's an example that we have of Jesus actually practicing solitude while still being near other people. So my wife and I moved here from Lubbock, Texas area. There's a place just north of Lubbock near the airport called Spirit Ranch. I don't know its history. I probably should know that, but I didn't grow up there. I've only known what it was the last 14 years. But part of that time, a friend of ours owned it, and he had it as a retreat center. He was a follower of Christ and wanted it to be a place that people could come and get restored. And so he had it as a retreat center for corporate retreats, for businesses, for churches. Had lots of buildings there on the campus. There are quite a few acres there. There are these peacocks out that just roam free. Peacocks are beautiful, but they're mean. I mean, you kind of looked at them from a distance, because if you got too close, those things would turn and try to attack you. So they're a little mean, but one of the things that they had was a building called Spirit House. It was a one-bedroom house there in the middle of the property, and they would let people rent that out for spiritual retreats. So if you needed a place in solitude and they had options, they would go grocery shopping for you and stock the fridge for you, and they would have food available, or there was a restaurant on site if you wanted to just do that instead. They provided options, but you had full reins of the grounds the entire time you were there, and so overnight, during the day, whatever, to just get away. Because they understood the importance, my friend did, of being away and practicing solitude. Well, I've had a handful of times, and honestly should be more than that, that I've had experiences where I got to practice solitude, and one of those was there at Spirit House. Told my wife where I was going to be, turned my phone off, had a physical Bible, not the app on my phone, had a notepad and a pen, and just spent time with God. I'll tell you how amazing that was, getting to get away from the chaos of the world. And I'm still in a city, but just far enough away from everything that I didn't hear the noise of the chaos of the community. I didn't hear the noise that was going on in my head from my phone ringing or from an email or from a text message or from social media or from just the things of this world. I was able to get away and just hear and listen to God. See, there's two types of solitude that we see in the Bible. There's an inward solitude, which is a state of mind and heart. It's solitude of the heart that can be maintained at all times. Jesus practiced inward solitude. And so Jesus could be in solitude even when there were crowds around. He could have time, just him and the Father together, because he was able to be at peace even in the midst of the chaos. And there's an outward solitude. This is going out away from the crowds, getting away from all the people to be able to hear God better. Many of the passages we just read are examples of Jesus practicing the outward solitude, because we see that he went off by himself to be with the Father. So you may be asking this morning, okay, that all sounds good and everything, but how do we practice solitude today? Knowing we have all this stuff that is constantly in our brain, all these things that are distracting us, we got bills to pay, we got responsibilities, how do we practice solitude today? So I'm going to give you just four things to help you practice solitude today. The first one is take advantage of the little moments that fill your day. Do you have a moment that maybe you get a cup of coffee before everything else gets started? Do you have a moment that maybe before the rest of your household is awake, you have some time you can just sit and just be quiet and just be in peace? Maybe before emails start, before the phones start ringing at work, before things get chaotic, what are those moments, those little moments that you take for granted because you're like, well, I just have to do this thing, there's no one else here. How do you practice solitude in those little moments? The second one is find or develop a quiet place. Growing up, they would talk about a prayer closet. And I knew of some people that actually had an extra closet that they turned into a place of prayer. So they took all the shelves out of it. They put a chair in there. They had maybe a small table for a journal and a Bible. And when they wanted to go to God in prayer, they would go into their prayer closet and pray. Maybe there's a special chair at your house that is kind of your spot, or if you don't have an extra closet. Maybe there's a bench at a park that you love going to. We have over 50 parks just in Farmington. I have no idea how many we have in San Juan County, but just Farmington, we have over 50 parks. There's probably a park bench somewhere that you can find to practice solitude. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, the founders of the Methodist movement, and mother to 19 children. I thought having four was a lot. She faced a profound lack of privacy. So to establish a dedicated quiet time with God amidst a chaotic household, she would sit at the kitchen table and pull her apron over her head to create a makeshift prayer closet. Do you think any of those 19 kids messed with her when mama had her apron over her head? They knew better than that. That's what she had. She didn't have space to go around. She had 19 kids there. And imagine the house was not that big. But she said, I'm going to spend time with God no matter what. I will figure out a way. So she pulled her apron up over her head to spend time with God. Maybe a retreat center. I don't know how many we have here locally, but there may be a place that you can go for a couple hours or a day that's just quiet and a place to get away and to be away. Number three is quarterly retreats. Four times a year, withdraw for 3 to 4 hours. That's it. 3 to 4 hours. Reset your life, reset what's going on, reset your expectations. If you're someone that sets annual goals, that's a great time to evaluate how are your goals progressing for the year. Are there things you need to change or adapt? Take 3 to 4 hours, once a quarter, just to get away into silence and solitude. Number four, annual retreats. Once a year, get away for 3 to 4 days. Turn off devices, no electronics. Bring your Bible. Bring a pen and paper. Maybe bring a book or two to read. And just get away with God. Spend time in solitude with the Creator of the universe. Spend time in silence with God. And get rid of all the distractions of this world. Don't allow those to interrupt your time. Find a place that you can get away and be with the Creator. The important thing is making solitude an important part of your life. Making solitude something that you do all the time. And something else, and unfortunately, we are not always very good at this. If you see someone that is practicing solitude and doing it well, don't discourage them. Some of y'all are looking like, what, me? Unfortunately, sometimes we allow jealousy to influence the things that we say. And instead of being an encouragement to someone because they're doing something well and doing something that they should be doing, we want to judge them instead and tell them that they're not living up to our standards. Can I tell you another thing? Your standards aren't that important. Can I tell you the standards that I want to be living up to, that I should be living up to? God's standards. Those are the only ones that matter. And so we need to be encouraging each other. If we see someone that is living and practicing solitude and doing it well, we need to say, great job, keep it up. How do I do like you? How do I become more like you? Hey, tell me, what are the things that you are doing? Because I want to learn too. Solitude isn't easy. None of the spiritual disciplines are easy. But it's important. It's all things that we should be doing as followers of Jesus Christ. If we want to grow to know more Jesus Christ more each and every day, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes us being willing to commit ourselves to living and being people that are different. Will you pray with me? Father God, as we are in this moment of silence, this moment of solitude, Father, I trust that you have been speaking to us this morning. Father God, help us to live lives that are pleasing to you, live lives where we are willing to get away from the chaos of this world to spend more time with you. Father, we know the world tells us how we are to live our lives. The world tells us the standards that we're to live by. The world tells us the things that we're supposed to do to be happy, the things we're supposed to do to be fulfilled, the things that we're supposed to do to live a life where everyone around us is jealous. But Father God, let us not hold on to the things that the world tells us. Let us hold on to the truth of your word, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the plan that you have for our lives. Let us be a people that are called a peculiar people, a people that are different, because we're not living our lives to please the world. We are living lives that are pleasing to you. So, Father, help us even now as we struggle with the distractions that are around us, the distractions of life. To find time to be with you, to find time to be in solitude, to find time just to come before your presence, just to sit in awe of who you are. So, Father, may we be those people. May we be those people that are willing to say yes to following you, yes to living our lives for you. In Jesus' name. This morning, if you're wanting to live your life different, if you're not happy with how you've been doing things, how you've been living your life, if you know that there is more to this life than what you've been doing, that God has so much more for you, the altar is open, the prayer team is available. You don't have to kneel if you can't kneel. If you want to stand at the altar and someone to pray over you, they'll come pray for you. But however God is calling you to respond this morning, invite you to respond to Him. Knowing that we care for each other as Christ has called us to be His hands and feet.